sinner. You know what? There's a lot of junk that I hang on to in my life that the Lord says, Frank, you have got to get rid of. You know, there was a phrase, and I know this is the wrong terminology, it's kind of slang, but you know, sometimes the Lord says, you got a lot of junk in your trunk. And I know that's a whole different phrase, but you know, let's bring it over here now, okay? I have a trunk in my life, okay? And it's the junk from my past life, okay? I became a believer when I was 12 years old, so you may think, well, how could you have a lot of junk in your trunk? But I tell you this, the enemy is there. The enemy is there, and what he wants us to do is to meditate on all this garbage, okay? That Yeshua set us free on. And there are thoughts that come into our minds that are just horrendous, and then there's some thoughts that are just plain stupid. They make no sense. Some of you have, I don't have many dreams. My wife, she gets all these crazy dreams. I can talk about that, but she's not here today. So anyway, she wakes up sometimes from these crazy dreams, and I mean, they're just totally, I'm glad I don't have those dreams. But you know, there are times, you know, when I'm just going about living my life, and there's stuff that comes in my head. And you know, as a young believer, the Lord said to me, why don't you ask me, is that of me, or is it of yourself, or is it of Hasatan? Yeah. And you know what? God has showed me, as a young man, that there's a divine filter, the Ruach HaKodesh. And He's the one that's going to prepare us and make us holy and clean, that we may be presented one time before the Father to marry His Son, Yeshua. And that's not even part of today's message, but the Lord just wanted me to share that with you today. Because it's something I need to hear, that I am a redeemed sinner. Okay? And the Lord showed me that the day that I die physically, I will be totally delivered from that junk in my trunk. Okay? But you know what? As a believer now for over 30 plus years, because I'm now 53, okay, going on 54, I'm walking more in the ways of Yeshua. I'm being more transformed into His image, in His likeness. I'm not talking about appearance, I'm talking about heart and character. How we relate with our spouses, how we relate with our extended family, as Rabbi and Robinson were talking about their boys moving in together. Whew. What have we been studying about the Torah, about brothers getting together, and the conflicts are going on? But I better begin this message before I go too far off on these little rabbinical rabbit trails that we go on sometimes. Father, I just thank You, O God, that I am a redeemed sinner. And that, Father, we can all identify that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I thank You, Father, that You are using men like David Chindwall, who read an excellent Torah reading and gave excellent commentary. And that, Father, You're using the body of Messiah. And, Father, I'm very jealous when I cannot be here every Shabbat. The provision has been now that I work at Mill Sleep Farm, and I can't be here every Shabbat. But, Lord, You'll rectify that situation in the future in Your time, O God. But, Lord, I thank You, Lord, that when my brothers and sisters meet, and I'm jealous, and I'm at work, that I can pray and I can intercede and I can rejoice with them. Because though then I'm not physically there, my heart and my spirit is here. And Father, I just pray, Father, for those who could not be here today, that You would descend upon them right now, and that the fellowship of the Ruach HaKodesh, Yeshua, and Abba our Father, and also our Mishpoka of the seed of Abraham, would make their presence known into those individuals' lives, O God. Father, You've made us family. And though sometimes we're way away from each other, we can still rejoice. And Father, I thank You, O God, that there are times when those junky thoughts come into my mind, those stupid thoughts, that You then bring the people here, their faces before my eyes, and I'm able to intercede, and I'm able to pray, and I'm able to rejoice that I'm with my family. Even though I'm not there in the presence, O God, I give You praise and glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let us begin. This is Shamesh 8, and I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit to have everyone turn to Revelation chapter 20, beginning of verse 15. While you're looking there, Adonai Yeshua, Adonai, our Abba's servant. It's a series of intimate encounters with Yeshua, salvation in the Tanakh. A theophany, it is a Greek word. It is an appearance of God, Adonai Yeshua, taking some human form, usually a human form, in order to be visible to human beings. I know you won't find that revelation. This is my introduction. Elohim plural, Elohim God plural, Adonai Yeshua, took a visible form to walk with Adam, our father, and Hava, life, Eve, our mother. Because she was the mother of all the living in the Garden of Eden. That's found in Bereshit, Genesis 3:8. Shamesh is a servant, a deacon, and attendant in the synagogue, or within Messiah's community. And I want to stop here for a second. My wife told me that my voice was so nasal all this week that she said, I really doubt that you'll even be able to speak today. But I serve a God of miracles. I just got to keep lubricating the throat here. It is to oneself to be ready for service, to wait on Adonai. Yeshua is our example, Yohanan, John 3, 1 through 12. Yeshua declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Abba, our Father, except through me. Yohanan, John 14, 16. Yeshua came to reveal the heart of our Abba, our Father, to us. Our Abba, our Father, who is God, he has orchestrated his Yeshua, our salvation, and the restoration plan through his Son, Yeshua, beginning in Bereshit, Genesis, and came to completion in the book of Revelation. That is why we're here today in the book of Revelation. You know what's amazing? You know, as I'm preparing these messages, the Lord says, start here. And then he has me go over here and go over there. And there's sometimes I think I'm on one of these rabbinical rabbit trails. I'm running back and forth. But you know what? Then later it all makes sense as he brings everything together. He orchestrates all these things. And you know what? Today you're going to be hearing portions that were given in the Torah reading today, and also some of the songs of worship that we sang today. How God orchestrates all these things. It is an uncovering of the glory of our Messiah Yeshua and revealing the future of all his creation, Yohanan, John 1, 3. Yeshua has revealed himself to all people in the Tanakh, the First Covenant, the Haftorah, the Prophets, the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant. Jeremiah 31, 4, in verse 31. Here the days are coming, says Adonai Yeshua, when I, Yeshua, will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and with the house of Yehuda, Judah. It will not be the covenant that I, Yeshua, made with their fathers in the day. I, Yeshua, took them by their hand and brought them out of the way of Mitzarim, Egypt. Because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, Yeshua, for my part, was a husband to them, says Adonai Yeshua. For this is the covenant I, Yeshua, will make with the house of Israel. Notice time has passed. The house of Israel and the house of Yehuda have become one echad. It is one nation. Now is only called by the nation of Israel. If you studied the Torah reading this past week, actually the Haftorah portion, it dealt with Ezekiel. And he was commanded to take those two sticks, name one Yosef or Ephraim, and then to take another, name it Yisrael. And he was to bind them together. And that's a fulfillment of the prophecy that we've seen today in 1948. The divided nation has become one nation. After those days, says Adonai Yeshua, I, Yeshua, will put Yeshua, his Torah, within them and write it on their hearts. I, Yeshua, will be their God, and they will be my Yeshua's people. All people who have ever lived, for their names to be inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, have come to put their faith in the promised seed, who are Abba, our Father. Salvation of the people of this world is Yeshua. Now you're already there. You're in Revelation chapter 20. And we're beginning in verse 1. Now I saw an angel coming down from heaven, who had the key to the abyss and the great chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil, Hasatan, the adversary, and chained him up for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and locked it and sealed it over him so that it could not deceive the nations anymore until 1,000 years were over. After that he has set free for a little while. Then I saw the thrones of those seated on them, authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for testifying about Yeshua and proclaiming the word of God. Also those who had not worshipped the beast or the image and had not received the mark on their foreheads and their hands. They came to life and ruled with Messiah for 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are over, the adversary will be set free from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Then their number is countless as the sand of the seashore. And they will come up over the breadth of the land and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. The adversary had deceived them, was hurled into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yohanan saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it was Yeshua. The earth and heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them to hide. Verse 12, and I, Yohanan, saw the dead, both small and great, standing in front of the throne. Books were opened, plural, and another one was opened, the Lamb's Book of Life. How can one's name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? By accepting our Abba, our Father, who is God's promise of the seed of promise, who is Yeshua in faith and trust. May your name be inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. There was a book that was given to me back in 1981, and I forgot it at home. It's a Brit Hadashah, and it's the very, very first New Covenant book that I've ever seen the name Yeshua written in. And if I had that today, I would hold it before you. Now let us turn to Daniel, chapter 12. A lot of people in the body of Messiah now, what they do is they try to understand the book of Revelation in and of itself. It's impossible. Why? Because they've laid aside the old covenant, the first covenant, and they've declared, well, the law has passed away. No, Yeshua said, I come to fulfill the law. The law still stands. God's moral codes have not changed. But the one who was sent for us, that we may be redeemed, has come, and he's revealed his truth. We're in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. When that time is, Mikhael, the great prince who champions your people, will stand up. Whose people? The Jewish people. And there will be a time of distress unparalleled between the time that they became a nation. At that time, your people will be delivered. Everyone whose name is written in the book. What book? The Lamb's book. Many of those sleeping in the dust of the earth will awaken, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and abhorrence. But those who can discern will shine like the brightness of the heavens, dome. Those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, keep these words secret and seal up the book until the time of the end. Many will rush here and there as knowledge increases. And then I, Daniel, looked, and I saw in front of me two others one on this bank of the river and the other on its other bank. One of them asked the man dressed in linen. There's an appearance of a man dressed in linen throughout the Middle East who's revealing himself right now. And he's been revealing himself from the very beginning, as he did to our father Adam and our mother Hava. Let's continue. He is dressed in linen, who was above the water of the river. How long will these wonders last? The man dressed in linen, who was above the water of the river, raised his right and left hands toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time and times and a half, and that in it would be when the power of the holy people is no longer being shattered, that all these things will end. I heard this, but I couldn't understand what it meant. Have you ever been there? I have. So I asked Adonai Yeshua, what will the outcome of this be? But he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are to remain secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will purify and cleanse and refine themselves, but the wicked will keep on acting wickedly. None of the wicked will understand, but those with discernment will understand. From the time of the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed will be anyone who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But you, go your way until the end comes. Then you will rest and rise, for your reward is at the end of days. There are mysteries in the scripture. When I was a 12-year-old boy and I started reading more and more of God's word, he opened it little by little to my little finite, tiny, small understanding. As a boy, my father, Roman Catholic, my mom, a secular Jewish woman. Family joined the Church of England a couple generations ago. I did not know of much of my heritage. But in 1967, there was a war. I was 7 years old. I was watching a news broadcast. I saw a tank. And when you're a boy, tanks are cool. And I saw on the side of this tank a star. And it wasn't the star I was used to seeing. It was a different star. And I asked my mom, what is that? And she said, that is the Mogen David, the Star of David. And she shared a little bit about my heritage. I was able to attend a synagogue for 1 year, Mount Zion, as a boy over in St. Paul. And my parents, they moved from there. It was during the time of my grandfather's funeral that I was meeting with a rabbi seeking to be bar mitzvahed. And he asked a question of me. He said, so on Sundays you go to church, right? Yeah. And does your family go? I said, no, hardly ever. I was the one that had a spiritual desire after the Lord. So I started attending that synagogue there. And he said, well, tell me, Frank, who is Yeshu? And I looked at him and I said, who's that? He said, who's Jesus? And I just sat there and I didn't have him an answer. He said, you have to come to a determination of who Yesu, who Jesus is. Well, we went to the funeral. And on the way there, my dad, we stopped. My father was an alcoholic. We stopped by a friend's house because my father wanted to get inebriated to the point where he could handle the funeral. Because when you're a non-believer, you have other crutches, don't you, other than Yeshua. And so we stopped there. And as we got there, there was a lady that ran out, and she gave me and my brother some tracks by JTC Chick. On there, one said this was called Holy Joe, about the army and stuff. This one guy, he was a believer, and how he shared his faith. And I read that one. The other one was This Was Your Life, talked about a guy that died as a non-believer. And then here was a big screen that showed his life before them. And then he was to face the judgment. But in that publication, that tract there, it showed if he would have gave his life to the Lord. Okay. And then there was another one, a tract that was called Big Daddy, and that was on evolution. Remember the time? This is back in 1972. So that stuff is really, really popular, evolution. And so I read those three tracts, and in the back there, my heart was convicted that this Yesu, this Jesus, was the promised Messiah. I prayed the little prayer in the back of the book there and signed my name. I then met with the rabbi, and he said, "So who is Yesu to you, Frank?" And I said, "Rabbi, with due respect, I believe that he is the promised Messiah." He said, "Frank, I cannot bar mitzvah you." So those doors are closed. And for the next 5 years, my father had a Roman Catholic Bible that he never read. And so I would read that from time to time. And in my just simple mind, God was able to reveal truth to me of his word. And that's part of my heritage. That's part of my tradition. So I did not grow up with all the Jewish, as an Orthodox or a Reformed or a conservative. A secular upbringing I had. And that's part of the testimony the Lord just had me share with you today. Let us continue. Praise God. Who is speaking to Daniel in chapters 10 through 12? I believe it is Yeshua. Let us now turn to Daniel chapter 10. Some of you have never heard my testimony before. And that is it. And here I stand before you. God's provision. Coming both from a Jewish and a Gentile background. Am I the one new man? Yes. Amen. Yes and no. Yes and no, I am. I have a Jewish heritage and I have a Gentile heritage. So that's why when you look at me and you see, boy, that guy's mixed up, now you know why. Let's continue. In Daniel chapter 10, and beginning at verse 4. And on the 24th day of the first month, I was on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. When I looked up, there before me was a man dressed in linen, another man in white, wearing a belt made of fine Uphaz gold. His body was like beryl, his face looked like lightning, and his eyes like fiery torches. His arms and feet were the color of burnished bronze, and when he spoke, it sounded like the roar of a crowd. Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men who were with me did not see the vision. However, a great trembling fell over them, so that they rushed to hide themselves. Thus I was left alone. And when I saw this great vision, there was no strength left in me. My face, normally pleasant looking, became disfigured, and I had no strength. And I heard the voice speaking. And when I heard him speaking, I fell down in a faint, with my face to the ground. Then a hand touched me and raised me. Tottering to my hands and knees, he said to me, "Daniel, you are a greatly loved man. Now pay attention to these words I'm saying to you, and stand upright, for it is to you that I've been sent now." After he had said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, "Don't be afraid, Daniel, because since the first day that you determine to understand and to humble yourself before your God. Your words have been heard, and I have come because of what you said. The prince of the kingdom of Persia, Iran, prevented me from coming for 21 days. Mihail, one of the chief princes, came to assist me. There were times when I read this passage the very first time, and I thought it was Mihail. But what does the scripture say? Mihail came later to assist me, so that I was no longer needed there with the kings of Persia. So I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the Arik HaYamin, the last days. For there is still another vision which I will relate to those days. When that time comes, Mihail, the great prince, the warring angel who watches over Israel. Notice in that portion there, a man in Litton, but he's waiting for Mihail to come and help him. The great prince, the warring angel who watches over Israel, will stand up. And there will be a time of great distress unparalleled between the time that we became a nation, and at that moment, at that time, your people will be delivered. Everyone whose name is not written in the book. Many of those sleeping in the dust of the earth will awaken, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and abhorrence. But those who can discern, what does this mean to discern? It means to understand the difference, to make a distinction, to make a choice. All of us of a Jewish heritage had to decide who this Yeshu, this Jesus was. He appeared to us to be what? The God of the Gentiles, who started this brand new religion. And he did not. What choice? Do we believe in our Abba, our Father, who is God? That's the decision we had to come to. His provision, his promised seed, Yeshua, as our salvation. In the synagogue today, they're praying for what? They're praying for salvation. God, come save us. Let's continue. Do we put our faith and trust in him, Yeshua? Or do we put him in ourselves? Into our bank account? Into our strategies? Into our life's plans? Or do we put our trust and our faith in Yeshua and him alone? It goes on to say that they'll shine like the brightness of the heaven's dome. The Shekinah divine presence, the manifest glory of God presence with men. Those who turn many to righteousness by sharing with others their hope of the promised seed, who is Yeshua, our Abba's provision, who is our salvation. There has always been a holy remnant in the house of Israel. There's always been a few that got it, that search after God with their whole hearts. Remember Esau? He didn't search after God with his whole heart. Yaakov? He cleaved on to him and he wrestled with him. Although he was a stinker, wasn't he? A deceiver, a usurper. Just as the man who stands before you today is a redeemed sinner, so is all of God's holy remnants. Us today, his holy remnant, no matter what nation that you're called out of. Remember, God orchestrated. Before you were born, who formed you in your mother's womb? Whom? Rejoice if God has called you to be a righteous Gentile. Rejoice if God has caused you to be a righteous Jew. It's of his making. Nothing we earn, nothing we can do. Rejoice in who and whom He has created you to be. Rejoice. There is no wall or partition here. That's a lie from Hasatan. Let's continue. Remember always that whenever we read the Scriptures, the word salvation, the word in Hebrew is Yeshua. But what do our Jewish people see? They see the word salvation. Because of persecution and through deception, we have been lied to. Let's continue. Our Abba's provision, the promised seed, Yeshua, our salvation. And it says that they will be like the stars forever. Who? The holy remnants. The Lord says, read that, but go in a little bit deeper. Because there are times when we read the Scripture, I know it, but I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't have discernment. And I do not have the Ruach's wisdom on this. That's why every time I open up this book and I read and I study, I'm blown away. I was up working on this message. I had about 90% of it done, but I was working on it additional 6 hours. Why? Because I was having so much fun. Rabbi can testify this. When God gives you a message, you know, your whole focus is that. And you're rejoicing because you know what? The blinders are being removed. Just think, all the mistakes I make up here, when you come up here, you're going to say, Frank already did that. I'm not going to worry about it. Amen? That's right. Let's continue. But Daniel, keep these words a secret and seal up the book until the time of the end. Many will rush here and there as knowledge increases. Is that happening today? I got a track phone. I see the one that Rabbi has, and I would be terrified even to touch the thing. It's way beyond my comprehension. Just like when Rabbi speaks and he teaches on an issue, I just sit there and you'll see me. I'm taking notes. You know why? Because my mind sometimes wanders. And for me to discipline my mind and the things that he has to say is excellent. But you know what happens sometimes? As Rabbi speaks, then the Ruach gives me something else. I got to write that in there too. Praise God. Just like when David, you shared today, you have a gift. And there are gifts. The Lord says, stop right here and talk about this little bunny trail here. But you have gifts. Just as every person here has gifts, has callings. You know what the Satan wants to do to us? He wants us to get off that path. He wants to believe the lies that he's downloading into our minds, that we'll believe a lie and go a different way. Because you know what? Just when Job was being examined, what did Abba Father say? He was boasting on what? A righteous Gentile. Gentiles are in here. Praise God. So are Jewish people. Praise God. And if you look at Father Abraham, for 99 years he lived as what? A Gentile. Circumcision and his faith and trust in God made him what? If you look at the original form of the word Jew, is a praiser of God. Elohim, singular. That is plural with his son Yeshua and the Ruach. Let's continue. Okay, Lord. And God wants to use all these gifts that are here. Amen. I get so excited when someone comes up here and they give a testimony and they look to me and say, is it okay if I come and share? I don't care. You're my family. I want to hear from you. I want to get inspired. This congregation is not built on the rabbi and the Rebbetzin, the elders and the deacons, and the music worship team. There are times when the Lord says, go up and just shut that thing off. Because you know what you saw today and you're seeing being manifested more and more and more? Believers worshiping in spirit and in truth. And there will be times when God calls their different individuals here that He's training, who come up here with their knees shaking. I used to stutter as a child. Lord, change that. You know what? Even if I stuttered, even today, His glory would be even greater. Because His manifested power would be seen. Don't think because of who you are and what you are, what type you are, you fill in the blank, that God can't use you. He's waiting to use you. He wants to fill you with His ruach. And there'll be times, I believe in the future, when Rabbi says to me, Frank, it may only be about 3 months before I'm going to have you speak again, because you know what? God is raising up those in this body who need to share. And you know what? When that time comes, praise God. So I want you to be listening to what the Ruach is saying to you. That the body of Messiah will grow. Because those gifts, you know what? We're starving spiritually, because the gifts of the Spirit aren't being manifested as the Lord wants to that extreme. You know what gets in the way? Look in the mirror. We do. We do. Because the guy that stands right before you today is nothing in and of itself but a redeemed sinner. And He wants to raise all of us up. Because we're all needed. Your testimony is as precious as any testimony written in this book. My brothers and sisters, the book of Acts is still being written today. And you are included. I can't wait till heaven when we stand up there and we hear testimony after testimony. Worship and testimony. Nobody's going to be preaching and teaching. Why? Because we all know of the Lord. There's no need for teaching. But testimony and worship and praise. And you think that sometimes people get a little crazy up here from worship? I tell you, when you've been delivered from garbage, from these prisons that Hasatan has enslaved us in, praise God. Isn't it amazing? We can go to a Super Bowl and act. People paint themselves. You ever see that? I've never done it. Okay? And that's just a team. And you know what? I can't tell you who won last year's Super Bowl. Who cares? That's just a dumb game. And as Rabbi Jonathan Kahn said, I'm not really into football. You know why? It's not a kosher game. They're chasing after a pigskin. That's from Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. That's excellent, isn't it? Thank you, Rabbi. Let's continue. And the Lord showed me that this message today, it may be a three-part message of one. Praise be to His name. But you, Daniel, keep these words secret and seal up the book until the time of the end. Many will rush here and there, and knowledge will increase. Now let us turn to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. Revelation 20. Now I saw the great white throne and the one sitting on it. Earth and heaven fled from His presence. Earth and heaven. This is our holy God who created heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And you know what? The heavens it's speaking of here is not the literal heaven where He is sitting. It's speaking of the outer atmosphere of the earth, which is defiled. Because you know why? Who rules and reigns over that right now? The prince of the power of the air. This earth, we love it. We got to take care of it. We're stewards. But you know what? It's going to be consumed in fire. That speaks of that in the book of Peter, Kepha. Continuing. Now I saw a great white throne and one sitting on it. The earth and heaven fled from His presence, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing in front of the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened. It's called the Book of Life. And the dead were judged from what was written in these books, according to what they had done. And the dead were judged for what was written in the books, according to what they had done. It is recorded that they ever accepted their Abba, who is God, and His provision, the promised seed. Yeshua, our salvation, and place their faith and trust in Him, Yeshua. Here's a simple prayer that was in that Brit Hadashah. A prayer to know your name is inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Messiah Yeshua, I admit that I have sinned. I believe that you are the promised seed that my Abba, my God, has provided for my salvation. You are my Yeshua. I believe that you have provided forgiveness for me, and I receive you, Yeshua, as my Messiah. Amen. Yeshua revealed himself as a promised seed. Yeshua, our salvation, after his sacrificial death on the tree, to those who died in faith and trust in our Abba, our God's promised seed, Yeshua. Turn with me now to Matthew. And we're going to start in chapter 12, Matthew 12. How come you keep going back and forth and back and forth and here and there and everywhere? This is one book. That's right. I've been wandering for a long time, haven't I, Rabbi Ed? I wonder what Brother Frank's going to be sharing about today. You'll see how everything is woven together, just like our Torah portion today and our worship time and our testimony time. Matthew chapter 12. And beginning at verse 38. This is going to be very, very familiar territory. But there are going to be things in here that you've read and read and read, but you did not see. You did not understand to its fullness. I don't have all truth. I don't have all knowledge. Because part of this truth was revealed to me this past week. At this time, some of the Torah teachers said, Rabbi, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. He replied, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign? No, none will be given to you but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the depths of the earth. This portion here speaks of what a forerunner of Yeshua had to do. He was giving a message of what? Of salvation to a deprived people, a persecutor of Israel. That shows the tender mercy of our Father's heart. And I tell you this, if I do not express that same tender mercy, I'm not his son. In my thoughts and in my actions, if I don't have tender mercy towards my enemies, I am not my Father's son. God sent Jonah, a reluctant prophet. And Jonah ran away from God's call on his life. I've done that before. In thought and in action. I was not swallowed by a great fish. But I'm here today as testimony that 20 some years ago I went my own way. When Rabbi Ed and Alberta were beginning in the seed of Abraham, I was part of that. And I allowed the lies of Hasatan to fill my mind and heart. To take something what Rabbi said that was true And Hasatan twisted it in my mind. Just as Yosef was separated from his brothers. Why? Because his brothers listened to Hasatan. God used that for preparation. But there were some 20 years that they were separated. Just as Rabbi and I had been separated for 20 years. Why? Because I did not go through that filter that I learned as a young boy of allowing the Ruach. Because you see, in my pride, I thought this, well, I've been a believer now for many years. I know the ins and outs. And Satan cannot deceive me anymore. Was that ever a lie? And there are times in our lives where we allow Hasatan to fill our minds and fill our hearts with all these lies. What would it have been like if Joshua would have inquired of the Lord? When a group of people with worn out sandals and worn out clothes came up to them and said, "We are from a nation far away. And we've heard the great things that God has done in and through you." He did not seek the wisdom of Yeshua to lead him into all truth. And he made a covenant with a people that just lived over a few hills. And they became a thorn in his side, in the nation of Israel. I tell you this, Hasatan wants to divide us. I was to be Rabbi's assistant. Then I was playing and wanting to receive biblical training, and I went my own way. I wasn't willing to humble myself and speak to Rabbi about it. I went my own way. Did God use that time? Yes. But you know what? He shut every door possible for me to share and minister. There are friends that have come up to me in the last 13 years and said, "Frank, here's an open congregation. Why don't you go there?" I can't. Why? Because I belong here. This is where I belong. That's why I travel 125 miles one way. 250 miles just to celebrate Shabbat. And I break Sabbath laws to do that. But you know what? Who's Lord over the Sabbath? Yeshua. I'm not walking and living under the law. And I'm not saying that, boasting in that. God's made provision. I've got a car. I've got a job. And I come here. And I come here because I need to be here. Because just as he's sitting on this throne here and judging these people, God's going to ask me to give an account for those 20 years that I wasted. But you know what? I'm going to be walking in his grace and mercy. Because the thing that the Satan did and tried to rob and destroy our relationship, and there's nothing that he did wrong. It was just simple a teaching that Hasatan took and twisted in my mind. And I'm saying that to anyone here. Allow the Ruach. When a brother or sister offends you, allow the Ruach to discern. Amen. There have been times when I've said to the Lord, "Lord, do I need to be offended so I will die?" Yes, he says. I work at Mill Sleep Farm. I've been working in an apartment now for about 4 years. There have been three others promoted over me in that department. I praise God. You know why? Because I want that company to be strong. I want that company to do well. And one day the Lord's going to say to me, "You're done here. Your calling is complete. But I want you to humble yourself. Yes, you have all these gifts. Yes, you have all these attributes. But are you willing to humble yourself?" Not that you be exalted, that I may be exalted in you. And that comes through death. Getting my way. Getting this promotion that I deserve. Who do I think I am? This is who I am. I am a redeemed sinner, saved by God's grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know what the Lord said to me right now? Stop. Stop right now. This message is going to be continued later. I know we're going to break in a little bit earlier, but you know what we need to do sometimes? We need to break early, let those who are teaching in the other rooms teach, and for us to enter into fellowship with one another. That's what the Lord says to do right now. And I need to be obedient. Because we need to walk in love one towards another. We need to die. The things of the flesh have to be laid aside. That Yeshua will be magnified. And I'm not saying before you, you're saying, wow, look at Yeshua. He's really being manifested in me. Yeshua needs to be manifested in all of us. Because there are times when you'll look at me and say, you know what? That guy's a stinker. I don't like him. I don't this. But you know what you need to do? But I see Yeshua, and Frank is growing a little bit more in his image, in his likeness, in his character. Love that part of me. And I will do the same. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father, for your redemption. You've taken us sinners, and you've redeemed us. You've washed us with your precious blood. And in the Father's eyes, we are holy. We are all holy and equal for what our elder Yeshua did, our elder brother Yeshua did, our Kohanim Gadol, our high priest. I pray right now, Ruach, that you would even come right now and minister to us as we fellowship. To your name be all praise and glory and honor. Amen. Amen. Hus and Tim, can you close? Thank you.